look at John chapter 3 today. Appreciate the opportunity to fill the pulpit for Brother Jarvis and anticipate their return early this week. And trust there'll be a blessing there with Anna and Mark in their last service there at AHOP. In John chapter 3, we're going to read a good portion of this, beginning in verse 1 through verse 17. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye have received not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Spirit that illuminates your word to our hearts and our minds, that we might receive what you desire for us to receive. Lord, we ask you to bless our time of looking into your word together here this morning. And Lord, we know that your word does not return void. We thank you and praise you for all that you do. In your name we pray. Amen. This scripture is about being born again. Being born again. Now, we had a few birthdays this week. Some of those first-time birthdays. I think Sister Bowman, had a birthday this week. Lisa had a birthday this week. Somebody else had a birthday this week. Who other's birthday is it? Carl had a birthday this week. Well, we've got one in every section. Is there a birthday in this section? Well, let's sing happy birthday to these. Now, the only person that's young enough for somebody to remember when they were born is Sister Schooley. So that's notable that somebody is here today that remembers when she was born. Danny, do you remember that birthday? I bet you do. Let's sing happy birthday to these. We can do it without accompaniment. I think we can. Oh, happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and each day of the year may you find Jesus near. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best one you've ever had. Birthdays. We're talking about a being born again. Now, sometimes you connect people for where they're born. You know, there was a notable birthday about 2 months ago, just a little over 2 months ago. Kaysen was born. Did y'all remember that? My grandbaby. And one thing that I've said to a few people is that the sad thing is he's a Hoosier. You know, sometimes where people are born, I would go places from time to time as went to school in Florida, and when I would introduce myself in class, I would say, I'm Greg Gilpin and I'm from London. And I would pause, and a few people would look, and then I would say, Kentucky. You know, where you're born, you know, we have a... every time I wear a tie that has a resemblance of orange in it, my dad gets all upset about it, and Jim Ed does too. But really, this isn't the kind of orange that makes Dad mad. This is the kind of orange that makes Jonathan happy, right? Burn orange. Where people are born. A few years ago, I remember in the early 90s, they were passing a fairness ordinance in Cincinnati. And one of the categories that they listed in that fairness ordinance, it was the typical fairness ordinance with some immoral things in it, but one of the categories they listed was you could not discriminate in housing or job opportunities for people who were of Appalachian heritage. That was a problem, I guess, in Cincinnati, that you'd call up and say, hey, I want to rent your apartment. And they would say, well, I know where that guy's from. It's already rented. Sorry. They couldn't discriminate against Appalachian heritage. You know, where you're from and where you're born, sometimes it's something to note. It's something to recognize. If you look in Psalm 87, there's a hint of the new birth discussed there as the psalmist is talking there, and he says, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. It kind of like us, you know, he's got a little bit of the psalmist is bringing out some affection and some partiality he has towards Jerusalem and towards Judah and towards Zion, and he's speaking its praise. But then he goes on to say, and this is in verse 4, God begins to speak, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he rideth up the people. This man was born there. Take a note of the fact that they were born in Jerusalem. And the Old Testament psalmist did not have the same perspective we have, but there's a spiritual perspective to this as well, that where you're born is important. And the fact that you are reborn in Christ is important. A spiritual birth that must take place. And that psalmist, that psalm there leads us to see and understand that it wasn't just going to be Jews only, but they were men from all different races and tribes that were going to be a part of the kingdom of God, that were going to be a part of this new birth. Have you been born again? The story goes that they asked the simple-minded little girl, they said, "Topsy, have you ever been born?" And she said, or no, they asked her, "Topsy, how old are you?" And she said, "I don't know." And they said, "Well, when were you born?" And she said, "I ain't never been born. I just growed up. I just growed up." Have you been born again? Jesus told Nicodemus here, you must be born again. He said in verse 3, except a man be born again. This morning in Sunday school, in the adult class, the conversation was about Genesis chapter 3, where man was lost. Here in John chapter 3, we find he lost his life in Genesis chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we see how he gets life back. He gets life back because Jesus said, except a man be born again. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus. Nicodemus it says that he was a ruler of the Jews. He had a lot of things going for him. He was a smart man. He was a knowledgeable man. He was a connected man. He had the right connections. He was part of the leadership of the Pharisees. He was part of the leadership there in Jerusalem. He had a lot of things going for him. He was respected by his community. But as he had come to see and to hear and to understand that what Jesus taught and to know more about him, there began to be some questions in his mind about what Jesus meant to his religion, what Jesus meant to his situation in life. And so he came to Jesus with sincere questions. All of his knowledge, all of his sincerity, he came to Jesus and he said, Rabbi, thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And it's almost like Jesus cut him off in the middle of his introduction. It's almost like Jesus knew he was going to head in the wrong direction with what he needed to say and what he needed to ask. Because Nicodemus had started talking about how that Jesus was a teacher. Nicodemus was wanting to know something. Nicodemus was wanting to understand something. I know you're a teacher from God. Nobody does the miracles except God was with him. And so Jesus cuts him off, doesn't really let him get to a place of asking a question. And he answers and says to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cut him off before he could ever ask a question. Because he knew that Nicodemus' need was not to know something else. It wasn't his need to understand something else. It wasn't his need to get another rule right by which he could live. It wasn't his need to get any of that. Jesus understood that his need was a new life, a new birth. Jesus understood what his need was. And so it wasn't that he needed directions. It wasn't that he needed a new set of rules to follow. It was that he needed to be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus needed to be born again. He had been born a Jew. He had been born into a family of Pharisees. He had the right heritage as man is concerned. but he was dead to God. We are dead in our sins and our trespasses. Our nature has been corrupted by sin. We have no means by which to approach God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Nicodemus, the flesh can only know the flesh. What you need is spirit. And the only way to know spirit is to have the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God in man. It's the Spirit of God that is able to speak to the spirit of man. It's the Spirit of God that's able to bring to life the spirit of man. We are dead in our spirit. Our spirit is dead to God. Our spirit is lost, and it must be brought to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus came to Jesus and he didn't even get a chance to ask a question, but then he asked, he said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? This concept of birth was not on his mind when he approached Jesus. He was hoping to get some sort of ritual or some sort of new direction in his teaching to follow. But Jesus said, you've got to be born again. You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's no way to approach it. A regeneration, that's the big theological word that's used, a bring to life again. We're lost in our sins. Our nature is corrupted. Our nature is polluted. We are distant and away from God, and there must be a life that is given, that regeneration. The regeneration, that birth, that creative act of grace that makes me a child of God. He makes me a child of God. I am born again. I am born again. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. We are born of God. John tells Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. This concept of the new birth, and it's only a concept that's in Christianity. It's only a concept that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. All other religions, all other means of morality are built on lists of rules and creeds. All other means of morality are built on myself being able to rule myself and bring myself to follow and to do and to accomplish until I come to a place where I am accepted and received. If you look at all the other religions of the world, it's a work salvation. Can I do enough to be accepted by Allah? Can I do enough to be accepted that when I die, I can be reincarnated in a better state? Can I do enough in my life to make myself better? And Christianity is the only one that says, in your life, you're dead. In your life, you have no hope. In the life that you have, you are lost for eternity. The only way to ever have a hope for the future is to get new life in Jesus Christ. To get new life in Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. That's not how it comes. It's not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's His mercy And it's the washing of regeneration. It's Him doing that work of giving us new life in Christ Jesus. It's that soul cleansing. It's totally bathing our soul and our spirit from the defilements of this world and sin, and cleansing us and purifying us and giving us new life. It's that quickening life that comes to us, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We are, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. A new life in Christ Jesus. A new life in Christ Jesus. We're a new creation. Old Testament gives us a picture of this in Ezekiel, that valley of dry bones, those that were dead, but the breath of the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit breathed on them. And the prophet spoke to the wind to breathe on them, and the breath of life came into them. Bone came to bone, but there wasn't life. Flesh came on them, but there wasn't life. But then the Spirit breathed on them, and they were made new. They were, in a sense, you could say, they were reborn. We have that picture of the rebirth, that work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that accomplishes the work, is the agent of our regeneration. He's the agent of our new birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit, it is spirit. His Spirit unites us with His Spirit. He unites us with His Spirit, and we come in union with Him, and He indwells us, and He lives in us and through us, that new birth. Human nature cannot make itself rise above what we are. Only the Spirit living in us is that life that makes us rise above. Our deepest need was a radical change, a complete change. For Nicodemus, it shocked him to think about a new birth. We're kind of churchified a little bit, and we hear of that new birth, and we wonder why Nicodemus asked the question, how can you be born? Can you enter a second time into your mother's womb? And we think, how foolish of him to think that. But the reality is, we, without the Spirit's teaching, without the Scripture to tell, how we would have the same bewilderment that he had. The same bewilderment that he had. How could it be? How could it be that we could have new life? How could it be that we could have new life? And Jesus said, except a man be born again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. And how was it going to be accomplished? How was it going to be accomplished? It says in verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus Christ was lifted up. He paid the price for our sins. How can one that is lost, how can one that is dead be raised to life? It is because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sins. He paid the penalty for my sins. He went to that cross, and because of what he did on Calvary, I can be made a son of God. I can be given eternal life. The regeneration, that cleansing, that birth, that quickening, that resurrection that takes place in a sinner's life, that what I used to be is dead. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. It's Christ that lives in me, that He has redeemed us. He has set us free. And so His Spirit is alive in me. How is it that we are able to approach God? How is it that we can have eternal life? It is only because of the miracle of the new birth that we have been born again. We have a new life. We have a new heart. We have a new spirit. We have a new divine nature. We have a new power. We have a new community. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. All things are become new. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but we now walk in newness of life. A new heart was given to us. Ezekiel talked about that. That he'd take out that heart of stone and give us a new heart, a heart of flesh, that new creature in Christ Jesus. We've put on a new man, and we have a new nature. We're not what we used to be. We're different. We're new in Christ Jesus. And the prospect of becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus is available to all of us. Because Jesus got to that point in the conversation in verse 15. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever. Whosoever. How do you spell whosoever? I know how I spell it. I spell it G-R-E-G. How do you spell whosoever? It's your name. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The new birth, that new birth of him living in us, of him living and giving us new life. We have new life in Christ Jesus. It's because of what he has done. The new birth takes place, and it has been accomplished because of what he did. It's not just a reformation. It's not just a making us a little bit better. It is a complete change of our nature and our person. It's a complete change of who we are. We have a new position in Christ Jesus. We are alive and no longer dead. The Holy Spirit accomplishes that work and gives us new life in Jesus. When were you born? You can give a date for physical birth, and not all of us can give a date for spiritual birth. I was too young. I don't have a date for that. But many of you do. When were you born? When were you born again? You must be born again. It's a must for each and every individual. It sounds, when you say, except a man be born again, it almost sounds exclusive. Oh, unless you can't get in unless you've got this or you've got that. It almost sounds exclusive, but it's not. Because as you moved on over to verse 15 and 16, it wasn't just for the Nicodemuses of this world who were fortunate enough to get close to Jesus and figure out that he needed to get there and ask him a question or two, but it was for whosoever. It was for whosoever. It's not an exclusive thing because it is not of works. It's not of ourselves. It's nothing that we do. It's all of him. And we are able to come to him for that cleansing, for that regeneration, for that new birth. We're able to come to him and we're able to come to him and his spirit does that work, that quickening. And we become that new creature in Christ Jesus. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Of the Spirit? Do you have new life? Jesus looked at Nicodemus. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Lord, that it doesn't lead us to anything but to you. Lord, I thank you that your word brought me to that place of knowing that I needed to be saved. And Lord, you brought me to repentance. And you gave me new life and eternal life. Lord, I pray and ask you that if there be any among us this morning that has not been born again, Lord, that this would be the day of their new birth. Lord, that this would be the day of their new birth. It would be the day that they recognize their need for a Savior, their need to be made new. They're dead in sin and trespasses, and they need new life in Jesus. Lord, you can work that work of salvation. I know that you